So it's my job this morning to charge Brian. Brian, been fun to get to chat a little bit, get to know you a little bit over the last month and a half. I want to read a couple of passages of Scripture, and so you can follow along with these if you want. They're going to come kind of fast and furious, so you may find yourself better off just listening. But the first is from Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. And I'm going to kind of use this to frame what I say to Brian. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders the last time he talked to them. And he said this to them, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And then from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. And by the way, not telling you something you don't already know, Brian, but 1 Thessalonians, if you want to just be warmed to the wonder of what it is to pastor, it's a great letter that reminds us of what we're called to do in so many ways. But let me read these few verses to you. For 1 Thessalonians 2, "For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." And then lastly, from 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, he says to the elders, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." And so those of you who are here get to hear this charge to Brian, so you'll see me looking at him mostly, not to you. Please don't be offended by that, but I'm not charging you. I'm charging him. Trust me, Timo will charge you plenty in just a minute. And he's much more menacing to look at than me, anyway. But I would say the following to you, Brian. First, where Paul encourages or instructs us to pay attention to ourselves, make sure you're not neglecting God's appointment for you individually to do this. His word, his people, prayer. Because if you're not paying careful attention to the soil of your own heart and life, then, as you know, weeds and unwanted things will grow. As those who shepherd and rule, we must do so, elders that is, from a place of constant tending, and we do it as examples to the flock. So as we're doing it, they're watching us care for ourselves, right? It's impossible to care for the souls under your care without neglecting or with neglecting your own. So read the Bible every day. Worship with God's people every week. Do life in a community group or small group, right? Find friends. Avail yourself. As Dave said a minute ago, it's lonely. And so we need each other. And I'm glad you're coming to come alongside of him and be his friend. But take advantage of all the ways God has made available to attend to yourself. They're the fuel sources for shepherding. As Peter says, they're how we do the shepherding willingly and eagerly. How we wake up in the morning and we're eagerly ready to get started with our day. That we're having fun doing what we're doing. Because if you're not, go find something else to do, right? These people don't want to be pastored by somebody who's not having fun. It's not fun for them, right? But he says, not just pay attention to yourselves, pay attention to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God that he purchased with his own blood. So she is more important to him than to you. You can't possibly outdo him in his love and care for her. He gave his own blood for her, right? And so we get to come alongside of him even as he cares for her. But the way Paul describes his work among the church in Thessalonica is just unbelievable in those verses I just read. Because he says you can't share the gospel without sharing yourself, right? Look at Jesus. He didn't just walk around dispensing truth claims and teaching. He wasn't just a rabbi. He wasn't just a teacher, just a prophet. He was a friend. He was a brother. He was a son. He related to those who were hurting. He interrupted his schedule to say, what can I do for you? What do you need from me? And so one way to know if you're sharing your very life, are you affectionately desirous of those you've been called to shepherd or to tend to watch over? I mean, that's the word Paul uses, is being affectionately desirous of you. He says, because you had been very dear to us, you had become very dear to us. Are these people very dear to you? Right? We certainly will pray that they grow in that. You've not been here that long, right? But as you enter into this, that's part of the call, right? That's part of the charge. It's sharing your very self. And Paul says there's two ways to do that. There's gentleness, like a nursing mother. And so I would charge you to be soft, to be tender, to be affectionate, to be a quiet supporter. And like Messiah, not snuffing out the smoldering wicks that are here, not breaking the bruised reeds, right? Watch your wife interact and care for your children, and you'll learn a lot on how to do this. The Lord is often compared to a hen gathering her chicks, and you know the hen will die if there's a fire to protect the chicks underneath her, right? Are you willing to do that? There's a transparency in sharing yourself. There's a vulnerability that humanizes ministers, and it's desperately needed in our churches. So when you're up here, talk about your own struggles. Humanize yourself so that the congregation can relate to you. It's powerful. I know that Dave does that. He's done that with me in our friendship over the years, and it's just marvelous, right? Sharing your very self. But secondly, he says we share the gospel. He says, like a father among his children, we exhorted each one of you, we encouraged you, we charged you. And so are you calling those under your care out on their sin? Are you confronting them? Are you challenging them? Exhorting them with the truth, encouraging them to walk in it, charging them to battle sin and unbelief. That's your charge as you share the gospel day and night, house to house, as Paul says, not shrinking back. He also says that to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20. One without the other produces imbalance and mushiness, right? If you think about the dysfunction, you think about the struggles that come in the lives of people who don't have a mother or those who don't have a father. You've got to have both. And shepherding is both. It's being motherly. It's being fatherly. And the wonder of it is that the Holy Spirit can produce motherliness and fatherliness in the same person. I don't know how he does that. Lord knows I got a lot of work to do on the motherliness side myself. much better at the fatherliness part. But that would be my charge to you, to look to both of those dynamics in your shepherding of these people as you come alongside of them. Don't shrink back, but be an example to them as you care for yourself, as you pay attention to yourself, but also to the flock that's under your care. Let me pray for you. Father, thanks for Brian and the work that you have done in him, for the journey that he has been on. Now, it doesn't begin here, it's just another chapter. But I thank you for what he's experienced thus far and what experiences are to come for him as he ministers among the flock here, among this little portion of soil that you've called him to help cultivate and tend and till that is Redeemer in Lakeland. And so I pray for him as he continues to get his feet wet and figure out the lay of the land. In many respects, this is home for him. returning home, but at the same time, it's a new experience. And so I pray that he'd pay attention to himself, careful attention to himself, as an example to the flock. But as he pays attention to himself, it would lead him to pay attention to those he's been called to, and that you would produce in him a motherliness and a fatherliness all at the same time. Give him wisdom by the power of the Spirit to be faithful to the call that is before him. And I commit him to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brian, the church has a few questions for you as ahead of your installation. Are you now willing to serve this congregation as their assistant pastor, agreeable to your declaration in accepting its call?
I am.
Do you conscientiously believe and declare, as far as you know your own heart, that in taking upon you this service, you are influenced by a sincere desire to promote the glory of God and the good of the church? Do you solemnly promise, by the assistance of the grace of God, you will endeavor faithfully to discharge all the duties of assistant pastor to this congregation, and will you be careful to maintain a deportment in all respects becoming the minister of the gospel of Christ, agreeable to your ordination engagements? Brian, on behalf of the church, I want to tell you we extend to you our blessings, our support, our encouragement, but more importantly, we will love you with the intensity of love that only comes from our Savior. So, I'm glad you're here.
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you have done amazing things. And that is all you can do, because it is who you are. How kind and great you have been to us and continue to be, and delivering to us the opportunity to love and serve Dave and Brian and their families. To get up on the edge of our seats and be eager to have them tell us about who you are, who we are, and what is our role in the advancement of your great kingdom. But to do it in such a way that we might not be distracted by your kingdom, so much so that we forget what a marvelous king you are. What a marvelous brother we have in Jesus, and how intimate it is to have Holy Spirit live in us. For that we pray and are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. I have to tell you the few rules in a meeting with me. The first is that whenever I meet with anyone in my office or anywhere else, I say I'm happy to meet with you and it's a privilege to meet with you. And I am confident and will feel great about meeting with you if you promise to never do what I say. Because the goal for me with you and with anyone is for never for anyone to do what I say, but that we might figure out what it is that Holy Spirit would have for us to do together. To give you my heart about how odd it is to be me in this setting, to speak to these men who are your elders, it takes me back to working for my dad in Willow Oak. I have a brother 2 years older than me. I'm the last of seven, but he really tried to concentrate on the last two because he saw what he had produced in the other ones, and he was concerned. So oftentimes he would give my brother and I some nominal chore that we would be slow at getting done, and he would describe, once we got in front of him, what was happening in the process of production was two nickels were holding up a dollar. My brother and I weren't worth two nickels, but he was describing the distance between what we were doing And that's what it feels like to be me, to talk to these men. Who am I? I'm far less than a nickel in the presence of the wonder of who Wyatt Foles is, and who Lou Barger is, and who Dave Martin is, and Brian is. The way I would describe it as I prepared this week is, I kept thinking, I'm a guy who's won the lottery, talking to you guys about wealth building. Right? The other tremendous pressure that I'm under today is goes back to the last meeting that Wyatt was in charge of. See, I have a friend who is Tim Rice, and he is the pastor of Trinity, but he's not my pastor. My pastor is Wyatt Foles, because that's who pastored me through the lean years. As Lou has pointed out, some of us have overeaten since we last saw. But Wyatt was in charge of the greatest meeting in my life, second to the when I gave my life to Christ with my brother Rick. When my bride walked down the aisle, and it began to dawn on her as Wyatt began to describe what we were there to do. About 20 minutes into that thing, she fainted. Wyatt wanted to give her one last chance to reconsider what we were doing. What a great man, and what a great memory, and how much fun it is to be here. To think with you today about what it means to help somebody be great. The verse I will barely use is out of 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. As we pray most earnestly night and day that you, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, that we may see you face to face and might supply to you what is lacking in your faith. Paul's great concern there is the faith of the Thessalonians and what he could do to build their faith. Then my other passage is Romans 1:8, is Paul's description of the effect you will have on them. Right? The first one was his concern, Paul's concern for the Thessalonians and how he might increase your attachment, your addiction to Jesus. And then in Romans he says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being proclaimed in all the earth. And he's describing that the Romans are building his faith. You get that? In order for them to be ready and able to assess you, to build your faith, right? The great challenge for us is we get to build their faith. We get to put into practice what it is that they tell us to do. Right? And then come report back in what great things God did in us as a result of their instruction to us. Have you ever thought about what it's like to be called to help your pastor be great? Have you ever thought, am I the parishioner that builds the faith in my pastor? Do I tell him the stories that make him bring it, that cause him to cry up, crawl up into heaven and grab Jesus every Sunday and bring him right back down into the service because he knows he's got to fill me with the Lord so that I can go out, love my husband, right? Raise my children and do that good work. Anytime I meet with any of our parishioners or my friends that are meeting with the counselors, I always ask them, do you pray for your counselor? Does your counselor believe in Jesus more because they get to meet with you? Does your counselor anticipate what it is to get to meet with you? Because they know you're going to come back with some story of how you came to know Jesus in a new week because of the wisdom that you applied to your heart from the gift of the counselor that God has given you. Right? So a little history. I'll give you two ways that I was called. I call myself, and so does everyone else, I'm the staff infection at Trinity Presbyterian Church. In November of 1996, we had a core group. We had already resigned. Covenant had decided that Tim Rice was going to plant a church, and we were going to go out and plant a church. And I had some friends who knew how to do church planting. So I called one of them. He was in town visiting, and we met over at the old Holiday Inn for breakfast. And I said, "Hey, what do I do now?" He said, "What?" I said, "We got permission to go. We got a group that's going to go. What do I do? How do I help my friend that's going to pastor this church?" And in essence, I did not know what I was saying, but it was going to be the great adventure of my life, the great call of my life. It is, now that I have been loved by God, how do I love my neighbor? And the phrase we use in our home is, how do we make the people we meet with great? So I became addicted to the opportunity I had to think about, how was I going to help Tim Rice be great? How is I going to help my pastor be great? So every day I get in my car to go to work, my mind is grinding on, how do I help this man be great? How do I put myself in a position to help him accomplish what God's laid on his heart so that he can be great, so he can love what he's doing, so the sheep will love who he is and how they respond? And then it began to take over my whole life, so that when I got in the car to go home, I drive home and I think, how do I make her great? Right? How do I make my daughter great? Now, I don't have the gifts of help. Right? I have very few gifts, but I know of one I don't have. I don't have the gifts of help, meaning if I help you, right, we're going to have more fun, but it's going to take longer. I can slow down any project. So sometimes my best help for Tina is when I'm in my chair and I just yell to her, "Hey, is there anything less I could do?" Right? So my friend looked at me and he said, "All right, here's your assignment. Every Monday morning, call Tim. Call Tim and tell him that God is delivering over into his hand the city of Lakeland. Call Tim and say the sermon that he preached so convicted you of your sins. You not only confessed what you didn't do, you confessed not wanting to do it. And you begin to pray like Hulk Hogan's teaching us, God, change me in my want life. And I'm a radically different man because of the sermon you preached, because you brought it. And the world's going to be changed." I said, "Man, I'm writing down as fast as I can. I got it. And then I'm looked up and I said, "Yeah, but what if his sermon sucks?" He said, "Timo, then you do what you do best." I said, "What's that?" "Lie." Right, your charge. Is to figure out what these guys are trying to get done and pick the one that they like to do the most and encourage them to do that. And when they're not any good at it, tell them how great they are. Tell them you wouldn't rather be anywhere else. Make it your job to make them great. And then the second thing he said is, and he quoted this verse, and it'll never be the same for me. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And he looked at me and he said, "You cannot right now imagine the stupid ideas Tim Rice has. You can't imagine how dumb their ideas are." And he said, "You've got to get them out, right? You've got to get them into play. You've got to do everything you can, as fast as you can, to help them do the dumb things that they want to get done, so that then they can set them aside and go on to the great things that we can get done." But he said, "When they do, the dumbest things, Timo, that's when you need to snuggle in the closest and love them the most. When they do the dumbest things, the most offensive things, you snuggle in as close as you can, and you make sure everybody knows that was your idea, that you came up with that one. And I thought, this is not as fun as the other one. I like lying. And he said, when those people begin to shoot at them and wound them and hurt them and discourage them, you need to take as many bullets as you can, and you need to take as many arrows as you can. And this is the great line, because if you die, it doesn't matter. If he dies, the whole thing goes under. Find what they do that they're trying to get done, that they love to do, and tell them how great they are. Love them, delight in them, rejoice in them. But make it your aim as part of the skills that you have to snuggle in as close as you can when people do the dumbest things, and make sure that they are aware that you are a bigger doofus than them. I'll close with this. Young man from seminary comes to work, and he works for me, answers to me. Marvelous guy, skilled in every way that I am not. Just very thoughtful, very wise. Has more than a high school diploma, which sets him apart from me in many other ways. But we're talking, and he said, hey, my wife's got to meet with you. He'd been here about a year and a half. And she meets, and she says, and she's just trembling. We're at Starbucks, and I thought, hey, somebody that needs coffee more than I do. And she says, no, I got to talk to you, and I got to be honest with you. If Luke has told you what it is that he has told me, he has told you about how corrupt he is, you know 8 things that would get him fired from his last church. And I'm scared to death. So I took a page out of my journal, handed her my pen, and says, all right, why don't you just write down the things that you know that would get me fired at your last church? And stop when you get to 20. I would never know those 8 things if I hadn't led with the greatness and the depth and the magnitude of the corruption and brokenness that still lives in my soul. I have seen evil, and it is in me. And the pastor who is trying to pastor me, the pastor who has pastored me, has pastored a man in whom there is evil, but the Spirit of God is living and active and working to bring about a redemption. But there is nobody younger than me that has sinned more than me. And I'm catching a lot of the old guys. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's got the detergent of the blood of Jesus that can save a wretch like me. Let's pray. Father, to call Dave and Brian to pastor us is a frightening thing. To call Dave and Brian to attach themselves onto your church that is losing influence in the culture is a frightening thing. Would you grant us, Lord Jesus, the skill to own the craft that is to make Brian and Dave great. That we would read the Word and study the Scriptures and pursue Holy Spirit and share our faith with our hearts tuned to encourage the men you have called and the wives you have called to serve those men and the children that you have called to be in their household to encourage those dear people who are trying to herd sheep like us. We love you and we need you and we cannot live without you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and
that's all right. Just before, whoa. There we go. All right. Just before we do that, we have a few other movements of the service. So it's my privilege to ask some questions to the session. So for those of you guys who are elders at Redeemer Presbyterian Church, come on up here, and it's my privilege to take much of what Timo has just charged us with and done so well and put it into questions or vows for you guys that come from our Book of Church Order. So as I ask these, would you give a hearty yes or amen or something of that nature, and in the back of your minds, maybe hovering much of what has just been charged to you. So guys, do you, the session, continue to profess your readiness to receive Brian McDonald, whom you have called to be your assistant pastor, do you? Amen. Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love, do you? Amen. Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification, do you? Amen. And lastly, do you engage to continue to him while he is your assistant pastor that competent worldly maintenance which you have promised and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you, do you? Amen. Great. So at this time, we're going to ask Dan to take part in a laying on of hands. And so any other elders that are present in the Reformed Presbyterian world, so come forward, and we have a time to lay hands on Brian and set him apart through prayer for gospel ministry. So Dan.
Father, as we are honored as his brothers in ministry to lay hands on Brian, we pray, Father, that by your Spirit, you will lay your hand on him, and that you, Father, will fill him with your Spirit. Father, I pray that he will seek your face more than your hand, and Father, that you will become ever more dear to him, especially in the midst of the challenges of the ministry, that, Father, he will seek you and chase, running after your face. Father, I thank you for what you've been doing in Brian's life, for all the courses his path has taken, Father, for the gifts you've given him, especially for the gift of Ella. And Father, I pray for her and for your Spirit to fill her as she loves Brian, and pray for them in their marriage, Father, that you will strengthen their marriage in the midst of their ministry. Father, thank you that, again, in ways that we couldn't figure out, that we could not decide or manage, you brought Brian to Redeemer in a time we didn't expect, in a manner we couldn't have thought of, and provided in a way that it was impossible for us to even imagine. Yet by your Spirit, you performed these things. And Father, we thank you that by your mercy, you've given Brian and Dave to us, both to proclaim the gospel to us and to live out before us. And Father, we pray for them. Evermore we pray for them as they stand before your people, and Father, as they proclaim your gospel to us. Father, we pray that we will be a support to them, a strength to them, a joy to them, even as the ministry brings burdens and challenges. And Father, that we will be there to strengthen, to support, as we've been charged to help make them great. And Father, we pray that we as your church would see your Spirit move, your gospel proclaimed, and men and women's lives transformed by the proclamation of your gospel. May your Spirit move in this part of Lakeland, and as we, as part of your church, would be a blessing to your church. We pray now, Father, that your mercies and your Spirit and your power fill Brian and move in him and through him to us. For your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to offer the right hand of fellowship.
It is my joy to do the pronouncement of installation. Timo came over about 6 months ago, eight months ago, and he said, "Dave, you're the only pastor in this whole network that works alone, and you've been alone way too long. You need to find somebody to come in here and work with you." And as Dan prayed, it is strange how the Lord has provided the resources and that the whole circumstance with Brian moving back to Lakeland. And we are just thrilled to have Brian. But we're, as Dan said, Ella, we're thrilled to have you as well and your children. And we're excited about doing this together. We're going to have fun, aren't we? All right, let me do the pronouncement. I now pronounce and declare that Brian McDonald has been regularly installed as the assistant pastor of this congregation, agreeable to the Word of God, and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such, he is entitled to all the support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. And it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.